And so righteous doing is nothing more than the outliving of Christ within us. Christ in us must be outwardly expressed. Let me explain this way. No one gets drunk by taking a shower in alcohol. You have to drink it. When it gets inside and it gets to the cells and gets to the brain, then we start to walk differently. Our speech becomes slurred. There are external evidences of drunkenness. Now, when you take Christ, there are external evidences, and that is righteous works. That is right doing. That is patience. That is forbearance. That is long-suffering. That's a willingness to forgive. That's a willingness to apologize. That's a willingness to sacrifice for the gospel. When Christ is in us, the works we do are really the working of Christ through us. Because without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. With the Word of God in his hands, every human being, wherever his lot in life may be cast, may have such companionship as he shall choose. In its pages, he may hold converse with the noblest and best of the human race, and may listen to the voice of the Eternal as he speaks with men. As he studies and meditates upon the themes into which the angels desire to look, he may have their companionship. He may follow the steps of the heavenly teacher and listen to his words as when he taught on mountain and plain and sea. He may dwell in this world in the atmosphere of heaven, imparting to earth's sorrowing and tempted ones thoughts of hope and longings for holiness, himself coming closer and still closer into fellowship with the unseen, like him of old who walked with God, drawing nearer and nearer the threshold of the eternal world, until the portal shall open and he shall enter there. He will find himself no stranger. The voices that will greet him are the voices of the holy ones, voices who unseen were on earth his companions. Voices that here he learned to distinguish and to love. He who through the Word of God has lived in fellowship with heaven will find himself at home in heaven's companionship. Education, page 127, paragraph 1. Happy Sabbath to all those who are watching and listening, wherever you are on God's green earth. We welcome you. And my prayer is that the Lord will bless you through this message. He will bless you in every possible way and touch your lives personally and individually in Mind, Character, and Personality. Volume 2, page 423, paragraph 2, Ellen White writes, "The gospel deals with individuals. Every human being has a soul to save or to lose. Each has an individuality separate and distinct from all others. Each has to be convicted for himself, converted to himself. He must receive the truth, repent, believe, obey for himself. He must be convicted for himself. No one can do this work by proxy. No one can be converted for you, convicted for you, repent for you, obey for you. This must be done personally." And so my prayer is that the Lord will bless you personally, even though you may be surrounded by people wherever you are. Our subject for today, practice makes perfect. But before I get into that, if there's anyone watching who is not a Seventh-day Adventist, may the Lord specially bless you and touch you. And I pray that you will come back again and fellowship with us. If there are little boys and little girls who are watching, thank you very much for loving Jesus and his word, and may God bless you. When Timothy was a child, he understood salvation. When Jesus was a child, he understood the word of God. And you, my little brother and my little sister, can understand the word of God if you study it with the help of your parents. So thank you, little brothers and little sisters, for joining in. Let's bow our heads now and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this glorious privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you today, God, for the technology that allows us to worship this way. Despite the fact that this is an electronic service, your holiness does not change. Let us be reverent, O God. Let us be conscious of your presence. Put your words in my mouth, your thoughts in my mind. Help me to speak simply, clearly, boldly, and compassionately. Bless everyone listening individually, and bless the families. Bless any guest who may be following, dear God. Bless that guest in a very special way. And Father, if anyone listening to my voice has contracted the coronavirus, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the great physician, heal that person 100%, dear God. A total reversal of the person's condition, that the demonstration of your mercy in that person's life may draw that person to you. Because we love him, because he first loved us. Whatever countries are connected by those who are listening, bless those countries, bless the leaders, help them to make righteous choices and decisions. Father, we place this service in your care now. Speak through me for your glory and for the blessing of your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, reading from verse 16, one of my favorite Bible passages, and surely one of the most insignificant in all the Bible. Genesis 2, 16, 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. This passage, surely, among all that it teaches, teaches this. There was something that Adam could do that would please God, and something he would do that would displease God. In that passage, we have doing and not doing. Let me stress that again. In that passage, we have doing and not doing. God said, you may eat of all these trees. That's a doing. If you eat of this restricted tree, there's trouble. That's another kind of doing. Listen to God as he speaks to Adam after Adam has sinned. Genesis 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, that is something Adam did, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, that was something Adam did. Adam did something that offended God. Yes, I understand that there is a mental component to sin where we think it, we do it in our minds, and then it is expressed. It may not be expressed, sometimes it is. But we must not underestimate the role of doing, because shortly I will connect doing to the concept of righteousness. And so God said to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. The ground was cursed because Adam did something contrary to what God told him to do. Sin involves a doing. Having said that, let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah 1. We read from verse 15, our subject, practice makes perfect. Isaiah 1, reading from verse 15, the Bible says, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Stop. Listen to verse 16 again of Isaiah 1. Wash you, do that. Make you clean, do that. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, do that. Cease to do evil, do that. Now verse 17 begins, learn to do well. Learn to do well. Doing well can be learned. Doing well is a skill that can be practiced. Let me say that again. Doing well is a positive skill that can be practiced, as verily as committing sin is a skill that we practice, and the more we practice, the better we become. Let that sink in. I'll say it again. We become good at what we practice. So athletes, professional and amateur, they practice until they can execute a movement without conscious thought. The very muscles memorize the movement, and they can do it without thinking, because thinking would slow them down. They do it reflexively. They do it automatically. What we practice, we become good at. And so the Bible says, cease to do evil. Make it a habit of saying no to evil, because the more you and I say no, the more natural it becomes to say no. Ellen White writes, that which we venture to do once, we're more apt to do again. Verse 17 of Isaiah 1, learn to do well as we try. And we try. Learning is an effort that must be put forth with the help of God. We don't sin with the help of God. We do right with the help of God, because right doing that pleases God is right doing with the right motive. Every act is judged by the motive that prompts it. Christ Object Lessons, page 316, paragraph 2. And so the Bible says, learn to do well. Learn to keep the Sabbath. Learn to return a tithe. Learn to obey your parents. Learn to respect the leaders of the church. Learn to study the Bible. Doing right is a skill that must be learned. And the Bible says, learn to do well. Seek judgment. We have examples. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. These are examples of doing well. And so when the Bible says, learn to do well, we have examples. Doing is a central part of a righteous life. There are things we must do. This is not salvation by works. This is obedience to God. The Bible, I say again, at the risk of being repetitious, we must learn to do well. Let us go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, our subject, practice makes perfect. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read verse 16. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. Let me pray again. Father of truth, continue to direct my speaking and my thinking. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, righteousness requires instruction. People must be taught what's right and how to do what's right. A Christ-like character does not develop by osmosis. It requires an active part of the believer. Teach, if you look at the great gospel commission of Matthew 28, 18 to 9 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. We are called upon to teach people to observe the commandments of God, because right doing is not a natural skill of a sinner. It requires conversion, and so people must be taught. Someone sent me an invitation to speak, some country overseas, to speak online. And one of the requirements was, would you teach us how to keep the Sabbath? And I delighted in that invitation, because many times we go untaught, we go uninstructed. Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Little children do not need to be taught how to be selfish. They have to be taught how to be generous, how to be selfless, how to be unselfish, how to care about their friends, how to allow their friends to use their toys, how to wait before they get what they are crying for. They have to be taught. No one has to be taught how to retaliate. We retaliate without thinking. Someone slaps you, a natural urge is to slap the person twice. Someone pulls a gun, you pull a bazooka. That's the way we are. We don't have to be taught how to sin. We have to be taught righteousness. And so Jesus says, teach them to observe. And as they practice, with the help of the Holy Ghost, of course, what you practice, you become better at. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When the rich young ruler came to Christ, we'll go to the account in Luke 18. He said, good master, what must I do to be saved? What shall I do to be saved? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Then Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus says, observe them. That's what you do. That's what you do. Notice the question, what must I do? The jailer in Acts 16, good sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe. That's what you do. I say again, doing what pleases God must be learned. Listen to what the Bible says about Jesus. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, because his increase included learning at the knees of his mother how to do what is right in the sight of God. Listen to 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. There is a doing. This is not salvation by works. This is acknowledging the fact that while we are saved by faith, we are judged based on our works. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is God's requirement. God arranged it that we should do what is right. There is a doing component to a righteous life. Why? Because while we're saved initially by faith, that is maintained by what we do. Ellen White writes, God requires the entire surrender of the heart in order for justification to take place. But in order for man to retain justification, there must be continual obedience through active living faith, which works by love and purifies the soul. There is a doing. Now, let me pray one more time. Father, continue to be with me, please, so I say this thing clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's read from verse 10. I want you to see something. 2 Peter chapter 3, reading from verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The doings of sinners, the earth also and the works, the lifestyle, the carryings on, the behaviors, all of it shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Conversation is conduct, behavior, lifestyle. What kind of lifestyle? What should you be doing knowing that this world is coming to end? Verse 12, hasting unto the coming of the day of God, in the which, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, listen to verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The lifestyle in the world that God will establish is righteousness. Everything will be righteousness or right doing, both right thinking and right doing. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we must look at this righteousness, which is right doing. When I said salvation involves a doing, I'm referring to righteousness. Let us go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. No, let's go to Acts chapter 17. We read verse 31. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherein he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. That's verse 31 of Acts 17. The Bible says God executes a judgment based on righteousness. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. The standard of God's judgment is righteousness, and righteousness is right doing. The standard of God's judgment is not based on profession of faith. It is not what you say that's the standard of judgment in the whole in when Christ comes. It is the conduct, the behavior, the works, and the law of God is an expression of that lifestyle. Have you done this? Is your life consistent with that standard of right and wrong? And so the world that God is preparing for us is a world wherein dwelleth righteousness. The lifestyle is righteousness. The judgment that qualifies a person for that world is a judgment of righteousness. Let us go now to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Our subject, Practice Makes Perfect. And I could have called this Practice Makes Perfect part 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's read 7 and 8. I have finished, fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Let's look at 7 again. I have fought a good fight. That's doing. Not just thinking. That's doing. The Christian life is a fight with the devil. The Christian life is a battle with temptation. The Christian life is a battle with unsafe friends who try to get us into trouble. Not necessarily wanting us hurt, but that's all they know. The Christian life is a battle with self. And so Paul says, I have fought a good fight. No one fights sitting still. I have finished my course. He ran the entire length. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, 2 Peter 3:13, God is preparing a world wherein dwelleth righteousness. Acts 17:31, God has a judgment based on righteousness. We will receive a crown of righteousness. It will be given to us by the righteous judge. We cannot escape righteousness if we have a desire to enter God's kingdom, because the path to that kingdom is righteousness. And Jeremiah 23:6 tells us the Lord is our righteousness. Righteousness is something we have to learn to express. It is not simply a state of mind. Yes, there's the mental component, because everything begins up here. But we will be judged by our works. Not simply what we said with our mouth. I am a Christian. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Be blessed. Stay blessed. Remain blessed. All of these expressions are fine. Now God says, let me see how you lived. How did you treat your fellow believer? What did you do? What difference did you make in somebody's life? Did you advance my gospel that cost so much? So Paul says, therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. Now notice, even though Paul lived a righteous life, he does not give himself the crown. It is given to him by God, because God is the final judge of the quality of your righteousness, because there's something called self-righteousness. You know, Paul complained in Hebrews, Romans chapter 10, because the Jews, being ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not attained to the righteousness of Christ. Romans 10, verse 3. There's a righteousness that is self-propelled, and there's a righteousness that is spirit-propelled. And so God will give Paul and you and me a crown of righteousness. And the God who gives it will be a righteous God. Look at the gospel. That's what we dealt with in our lesson. Isaiah 53 is the gospel. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, that's a doing. Who's doing it now? God. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God makes us righteous. Or he ascribes to us, I should say, the righteousness of his Son, which is his very righteousness. Listen to the verse again. For he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? Christ knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It is clear from that verse, among other things it teaches, that the opposite of sin is righteousness. Sin is what we do. Righteousness is what we do. Sin is what we do by our own power, not even the power of the devil. Because if the devil dies tonight, people will sin tonight. Let me say it again. If Satan dies tonight, people will sin tomorrow. We don't sin by the power of Satan. We sin by the power of this thing called sin, which is a principle within us. We inherited from Adam. We conquer it through Christ. As we sin by a negative power, we do what's right by a positive power. And so God made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness. God gives to us that capacity. That capacity is not an external, it's not an impersonal object. That capacity is Christ. Let me explain what I mean. By looking at Jesus, how was Jesus able to live a righteous life? He tells us. Let's go to John 14. We read from verse 8. John 14, verse 8, practice makes perfect. The Bible says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that have seen me have seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Now listen carefully. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, that's a doing, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Now what is Christ saying? Christ's victorious life was the result of the Father working through him with Christ's constant invitation and surrender. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ remained in a state of total surrender to the Father. And in his humanity, the Father can work through the human Jesus Christ. And so Christ did what he did by the indwelling power of the Father. Now we are to do what Christ did by the indwelling power of Jesus. And so righteous doing is nothing more than the outliving of Christ within us. Christ in us must be outwardly expressed. Let me explain this way. No one gets drunk by taking a shower in alcohol. You have to drink it. When it gets inside and it gets to the cells and gets to the brain, then we start to walk differently. Our speech becomes slurred. There are external evidences of drunkenness. Now, when you take Christ, there are external evidences, and that is righteous works. That is right doing. That is patience. That is forbearance. That is long suffering. That's a willingness to forgive. That's a willingness to apologize. That's a willingness to sacrifice for the gospel. When Christ is in us, the works we do are really the working of Christ through us. Because without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. My listening friends, doing what's right is a skill that must be practiced. There's a funny story of a this basketball coach walked into a gym and saw a young boy shooting, and he kept missing all the time. And the coach said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm practicing free throws." The coach said, "No, you're practicing missing, because that's all you're doing. You're missing, you're missing. You're becoming good at missing. You need to practice hitting those shots." What am I saying? If we sin and sin and sin, the practice of sin makes us more skillful in sinning. The practice of righteousness by the indwelling power of Christ makes righteousness our natural behavior. Now, Ellen White writes in Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 2, page 601, paragraph 4. Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 2, page 601, paragraph 4. "That which at first seems difficult, by constant repetition grows easy, and right thoughts and actions become habitual." Practice righteousness, and it will become a habit. Practice a sin, it becomes a habit and is known as a predilection or a propensity. If you steal and steal and steal, then stealing becomes a weakness of an already weak nature. If you do right and do right and do right, it becomes a strength of the converted nature. What we practice is what we become skillful at. And so from Adam and Eve up to this day, right and wrong has a large component of doing and not doing. But I must stress again, this is not righteousness by works or salvation by works. This is the outworking of Christ in the individual. And that outworking is doing this or doing that. Righteousness is a skill that must be practiced by the power of Christ. Sin is a skill we practice by our own sinful nature. Isaiah 1:15, read that again, and 16 and 17. "Your hands are full of blood," the end of verse 15. Verse 16, "wash you," you do that. "Go do what's necessary to be cleansed. Make you clean." We know only God can forgive, but there are things we can do to access that forgiveness. "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes." You and I have to decide to stop doing that or stop doing that. Christ provides the power. We must make the decision to stop going to those dirty websites, reading those dirty books, wasting time, gambling, whatever. We must make that decision. Christ does not choose for us. This is what we do. "Wash you," make that choice. "Make you clean," make that choice. "Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes." Cease to do evil. You choose that. Learn to do well. Some examples: seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Those are things we do, and God tells us, do them. Then he says, "Come now," verse 18, Isaiah 1, "let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient," you do what I say, "ye shall eat the good of the land. If ye refuse and rebel," you do what the devil says, "ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Listen again to Isaiah 1:19. "If ye be willing and obedient," do what I say, "ye shall eat the good of the land," even in the coronavirus pandemic. "If you refuse," that's a doing, negative, "and rebel," that's negative doing, "ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." What's my appeal to you? Let's try to do what's right. Let's practice righteousness. Deuteronomy 6, verse 25, "And this shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us." This shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Let's accept the counsel of Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do well. Where's that knowledge found? Right in this book. This is our manual for learning how to do well. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16, "It is profitable for instruction in righteousness." This is our teacher under the guidance, direction of the Holy Spirit of God. May the Lord touch you and me, that we will renew our commitment to righteousness. We will practice by the grace of God righteousness. For as verily as sin comes naturally to the unconverted person, righteousness can come naturally to the genuinely converted person who is truly born again, born of the Spirit and not of the flesh. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how practical your word is. Father, we're people who understand do and don't do. Righteousness is something we do, not just think. Sin is something we do. There is no system on earth that imprisons someone for thinking one way or another. It is the result of doing. Father in heaven, give us the mind of Jesus, which produces the righteous behavior of Jesus Christ. And as we practice righteousness, dear God, by the power of the Spirit of Christ, let that righteous life bring others to Jesus. Let a righteous life be a classroom, dear God, where people can come to learn about what pleases you. Bless everyone who listened, particularly any guests who may have tuned into this service. Again, I ask you, heal anyone who may have contracted the coronavirus, dear God. Touch that person and grant that person complete healing. And when you come into your kingdom, Father, grant us a place in that land where all will be righteousness, that we may live the life that we practiced through Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.